Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. This week's podcast is brought to you by AgroZen Life Sciences. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us this week. On this week's podcast, we'll hear from Ryan Ballone. Ryan is the commercial director for Independent Hemp Testing Lab, KCA Laboratories, in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And prior to KCA Labs, Ryan managed business development in international markets for a prominent dietary supplement and sports anti-doping testing laboratory. And he brings his skills to the hemp industry, and we certainly do appreciate it. Ryan, how you doing today?
Oh, thanks, Jason. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Happy to be speaking with the Midwest Hemp Council podcast listeners and members today here from sunny Florida.
Sunny Florida. Yeah, we were just discussing off air the sunny now, but maybe in 5 minutes. By the time we get done with this interview, Ryan, I want you to look up in the sky and tell me what you see and tell me if it's still a clear, blue, sunny sky, okay? So make sure to remind me of that at the end, and we'll let our listeners know here how this transformed, because, of course, the hurricane in the Gulf and all that, hopefully you guys are far away from it. No ill effects on that. And hopefully, though, you did have a chance to enjoy your vacation so far.
Yes, thank you. Several days here in sunny Destin, and just a couple more days before I have to get back to the real world. But as you know, being in the hemp industry, not exactly the best time to take a vacation. So I hope my colleagues will forgive me for leaving in the middle of harvest season here.
Well, there's still a lot of envious listeners out there right now, I can imagine, and I'm one of them right here. But again, Ryan Ballone, and Ryan, you're with KCA Labs. So let's go ahead and get started here with this conversation, and tell us, first of all, about KCA Labs and what you guys do, where you're located and what you do, why that company was founded.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Jason. So KCA is a analytical testing laboratory that specializes in the testing of hemp. We're here in Nicholasville, Kentucky, which is just south of Lexington, if you've ever been mm-hmm. to the area or familiar with the area. And we started the company several years ago. Well, actually, not several years. We started the company last September. So we just had our first year anniversary. The main reason we started the lab was to advance the science of hemp and also the science of cannabis mm-hmm. In terms of understanding cannabinoid content, understanding potential contaminants, understanding the manufacturing practices that should go into the concentrates and extracts, and really just trying to help the industry self-regulate.
Mm-hmm. What year did you form the company?
We formed the company in 2019. So
okay.
Our lease started actually September 2019, started testing samples in December, and we're happy to say that we have been increasing and setting new sample records each month ever since.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, of course, you were founded last year, but a lot more time goes into the planning stages of founding a company. Who else, do you want to talk about who else is involved with the company with you?
Yeah, for sure. So the main principals of the company are Christopher Ware and Dr. Richard Sams. Christopher Ware is basically his brainchild to start this lab and was pulling together what he called his A-team, which included Dr. Sams, who's a phenomenal chemist, mm-hmm. PhD pharmacologist with more than 45 years experience in anti-doping, equine pharmacokinetic studies. So there's a lot of experience on the staff already just with him on the team, and we've been lucky enough to basically whoever we wanted on the team, we've been able to add to the team with such motivation and loyalty to the cause so far with all the team members.
And Ryan, why did you get involved with KCA Labs? What was your interest in getting involved in the hemp industry?
So I had actually been working at a laboratory, an anti-doping laboratory and a dietary supplement testing laboratory. It's actually quite a large global company that I had great managers and mentors there. And one being Dr. Richard Sams, who left the company prior to my departure, but to basically start KCA.
I see.
But he sent me on a wild goose chase one trip up to Canada to explore the marijuana, medical marijuana industry back in September of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'd met several people that were influential on, hey, you know, we need you guys or your kind of people, you know, very quality and testing oriented people to be in this industry. And so I made some connections up there in Canada that I feel like promoted and influenced my decision to basically move into this space a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So we were testing dietary supplements. I had always told them to go into the hemp space, especially being in Kentucky. But once an opportunity to get in the hemp space opened up with KCA Labs, I decided I needed to join that and take my efforts elsewhere. And the dietary supplement industry, it has a lot of correlation to the hemp and overall cannabis industry. I expect the FDA to implement some guidance for the hemp industry and CBD products related to the dietary supplement industry at some point or another. You know, who knows when that'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we would love to be able to take what we have helped so many companies do in other FDA regulated industries to try and guide clients of ours to gain such quality systems and testing protocols that help them create the best products possible for the hemp industry and with all the various cannabinoids that are being isolated in this industry to help people.
Now, Ryan, coming from the anti-doping side of things, and the dietary supplement side of the industry. Now, there's a lot of fly-by-night companies in that the dietary supplement companies or industry out there. A lot of bad characters. We saw some bad characters early on in the hemp industry as well. They're starting to be weeded out. But do you see some overlap there? Do you see some a lot of the same type of, I guess, I don't know what the word would be, symptoms of some of those bad players in the hemp industry? Do you see some similarities?
Oh yeah, and those issues continue to occur in the dietary supplement industry. The barriers to entry into both industries are very, very low, especially with, you know, we're not exactly upholding, you know, pharma standards in the hemp space or the dietary supplement space. But when companies can create their own products, usually tied to GMP standards, which kind of overlap across the industries in a variety of ways. When companies follow known standards and use testing to increase the quality of their products, they'll be able to, you know, withstand the storm when the FDA starts cracking down on the industry. I mean, for years we were helping clients that were testing with us, that were trying to understand their contamination issues, that were trying to meet, you know, GMP standards and understand, again, why their product might be better or even of higher quality compared to the ones that are getting the FDA letters.
Mm-hmm.
When we were helping them, we helped them weather these storms. I mean, they had PBS specials about, you know, the dietary supplement industry being full of crooked companies, yet, you know, it's very much a generalization that many people in that industry were trying to just better the health of their customers. So, I mean, it's very much related. It's just another botanical here in our space that needs to be treated at, like the plant that it is.
All right. Once again, speaking with Ryan Ballone with KCA Labs. Now, with KCA Labs, again, you explained why the company was founded, what the goal is, and what you guys do. How many employees do they have at KCA Labs?
We have about probably less than 10 right now.
Okay. Not bad for a first year company.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we started in September. We've been weathering this COVID storm with everybody and kind of haven't taken a step back. We did spend a few weeks with everybody working from home, but quickly enough, we were back up and running once we realized the severity of the issue. The team, obviously laboratory personnel, several part-time seasonal workers, obviously. That's why the number is kind of hard to pinpoint at
sure.
the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's the case with every company in the hemp industry right now. But, we're growing. We have a great, awesome laboratory space that's already fully equipped with all the electrical wiring, all the bench space that we need to further grow. It's been quite amazing with the support we've gotten from the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as the overall industry. I guess one of the targets that we've been going after has been the processors and the remediators, so that they can understand their processes better. You know, the farmers need to understand what they're growing and what numbers they're yielding, but the processors need to understand the quality of testing that they're employing to actually deem products as, let's say, for example, THC free, or having a mix of major or minor cannabinoids. The laboratory differences in this industry have, in my opinion, restricted some of the growth because people don't quite understand what they're trading between each other mm-hmm. in terms of the flower or the processed material or even a finished goods, because the numbers are just all over the place, as many people understand when it comes to laboratory testing here in the hemp industry.
And one thing about that a lot of people we dig into the day-to-day operations and we have our head down, we're moving forward, we're dealing with COVID, that sort of thing. But really, when you step back and think about it, you mentioned you have 10 employees. When you look at the microcosm of what's going on with the hemp industry, 2 years ago, those people would have not been at all involved in the hemp industry because there was no hemp industry. You can go down and open up a store, you can open up a body shop or any sort of things, and you can hire people, and people move around and change jobs all the time. But when you really step back and look at it, this is a brand new industry. These people would not have had these jobs 2 years ago. And it's amazing to think when you look at your 10 employees and add all of the companies out there that have 10 employees or 5 employees or 20 employees in the hemp industry, so many people employed and the money that you're investing in your company that would not have been invested in that sort of company because it is brand new, not just the company, but the industry itself. It's pretty amazing to think about the economic impact that hemp has already had that it's probably not getting credit for.
Oh yeah, truly. I mean, I would, and these jobs are well-paying jobs. They're in my opinion, and hopefully they're here to stay. All of my colleagues are very happy to be in the space. They feel like this work is meaningful. This is progressing. Obviously, the hemp and cannabis industry, but it's progressing the manufacturing arm of this country and the agriculture arm of this country that so many people would consider, on life support. So it's really great to see. When we're the laboratory, we work with hundreds of clients all around the country, some local, some over in Indiana. And when we speak with them. I mean, they're pouring their heart and soul into this industry and doing the work that it requires to really make a statement about, you know, we're here to stay. You know, this is a legitimate, high quality industry. It should be considered a reputable industry by the public as well as the government.
Oh, without question. And again, we spoke about the fly-by-night companies and the bad characters out there, and there may be a few that may, you know, get a quick profit, likely not. But again, it's folks like you that are out there investing not only the time and everything, but again, investing those actual dollar bills that go into everything, the infrastructure and salaries and things like that. And again, hopefully the hemp industry will get its due here very soon. Again, we're speaking with Ryan Ballone, with KCA Labs. Am I saying the name right there, Ryan Ballone? Am I
yeah.
getting that? Okay,
yeah,
I wanted to make sure. Sometimes, you know, as you go through the interview, the name starts to fade a little bit. Am I pronouncing that correctly or not? But but the other reason we had you on here, Ryan, was to, again, with their laboratory testing, certificates of analysis, these are things that are over my head, over a lot of people's heads. But there is a graphic on the Midwest Hemp Council website. It should be on there today. As people are listening to this, they should be able to go there and look at this. This is a... basically kind of a one sheet on how to understand and review a certificate of analysis. This is something the farmers need to be familiar with. People in the hemp industry need to be familiar with. And you've put together a very nice one sheet here on this. So if you've got that in front of you, or of course, you know what I'm talking about there, if we can go through a couple of the key points there. And when people go to look at this, what should they be looking for? And what are some of the most important things on this certificate of analysis and the example on the website that they should be looking at?
Yeah, thanks, Jason. So the one pager I put together here basically takes our certificate of analysis, which is the output of the laboratory. It's what we, in a very simple way, sell to people. You know, mm-hmm. People want to know information. So the certificate of analysis is the collection of the information coming out of the laboratory that's being shared with the client. You, at the top there, you have your information. You should always double check, make sure all the information up there is correct. And moving on down on the summary, you should understand that there's a variety of tests that can be performed on hemp, mm-hmm. Anywhere from the common cannabinoid potency test, which tells you how much of each cannabinoid is within the testing that's being performed. Here at KCA, we test for 18. Cannabinoids on our standard test, as well as another dozen or so.
How much product or hemp are the farmer, would they need to send to you in order for you to do this analysis?
I would base the amount of material sent to us by the farmers according to the regulatory requirements of the state that they're in. Mm-hmm. Here in Kentucky, the state comes in, they take off 8 inches off the top of the plant. I know up in Wisconsin, for example, they'll take 2 inches off of, you know, up to dozens of plants just mm-hmm. for one sample.
Okay.
If you consider that, in my opinion, the sampling requirement is somewhere in the middle. If you want to understand your highest levels in the field, go ahead and sample from some of the more mature plants. It takes 2 to 4 to even 5 inches off the top of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to understand future growth, I would sample from the same part of the plant on multiple plants of the same cultivar type. And again, take several grams. We like to have at least 5 grams of material per test. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely try to mold your sampling procedure to the end goal of what you're trying to understand about your material. And we're more than happy to help with that. People should call us or email us if you have any questions about sampling. But when it comes to understanding if your material is going to be hot or not, it really needs to be tied to what is the state going to be looking at. Also, we use an HPLC to test material for tests for potency.
Mm-hmm.
And many states, including Indiana and Kentucky, use a GC-FID, which can result in actually lower figures than what we pull especially considering the extraction efficiency of the laboratory here at KCA.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that your results may be a little hotter?
Maybe.
And would that be good for the farmer in that you know that is basically you're topped out at that?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we look at it. I mean, you're the farmer, if you're basically facing the potential to destroy an entire field of crop based on the analysis of some material that's collected, in my opinion, I would want to know what the highest number that could potentially be. Your strongest growing plant, what at the very top of the plant or the largest buds of the plant that end up yielding some of the higher cannabinoid content. In my opinion, and the opinion of the laboratory, the hemp plant is more than just a flower. It includes the leaf, it includes the stem, it includes the seeds. And when it comes to the testing of the plant material for regulatory purposes, we understand that the material is more than just the flower.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case when it comes to the regulatory testing. So just test accordingly. You know, you might want to yield the highest numbers to be able to sell it later, but is it going to test hot? You might want to understand that the material is right around, the threshold, that the 0.3 threshold or even the 0.39, depending on what state you're in. If you're right there or even right over, you should always consider the laboratory's measurement uncertainty, which is it's just the error of the testing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's a plus or minus percentage. This is probably one of the more important items on the one pager, where if you're, let's say you're at 0.33 and, your laboratory's measurement uncertainty is 12%, that's going to be a little over, 0.01. It's like 0.016 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or 0.316. So that should go down below the 0.3 if you apply the measurement uncertainty. And that helps the farmers that think that their material is hot. It actually helps them understand that their material is compliant given the error or the measurement uncertainty of the laboratory.
And are they sending this product into you? Or are you going out to their farms and doing the testing? How does that work?
So we do not sample out of the farms unless the farmers want us to come out there and do it. We are the state regulatory testing laboratory for both Massachusetts and North Dakota.
Okay.
But we do not, do the sampling. The state does the sampling. They choose which parts of the plant are going into a bag being sent to us for testing. And then we have to test whatever material is sent to us and arrives into the laboratory.
Yeah, that would be quite considerable travel to have to keep going to those states and doing that. So that would certainly make sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we have local, farmers that are asking, but I think for the most part, if you have questions about sampling, just call us. I mean, we're more than happy to answer any questions that you might have and guide you with. At least with the best knowledge that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sampling protocols are different all over the internet if you look them up. I mean, even with the states, as we mentioned in the regulatory testing earlier, sampling protocols are should basically be designed to guide the end desired result. I'm not necessarily saying that, obviously you don't want your material to be hot, but there are certain pieces of information that you would like to pull out of the testing that's being performed.
Mm-hmm. And again, so Ryan, back to the certificate of analysis, and more importantly, how to understand and review a certificate of analysis. Again, this should be on the Midwest Hemp Council website. Folks can check that out. What other important factors go into that certificate of analysis that people need to make sure and be aware of?
Well, I think some of the other ones that are important beyond just the results themselves is the limit of detection, the limit of quantitation. It's tied to also the measurement uncertainty a little bit. But the laboratory's ability to actually detect the presence of a compound is very important. You know, from time and time again, we continue to see other laboratories have significantly higher limits of detection. Even I've seen other laboratories that test just under 0.3, at like 0.2, just so that if it comes in underneath that, they can say it's not detected. I mean, that's just any laboratory that's out there that's able to test for the presence of cannabinoids is able to test lower than that, understands that they are able to test lower than that, and in my opinion, needs to do this industry a few more favors of actually giving out the numbers that these clients are asking for in terms of the truth rather than manipulate through the limits of detection. So beyond that, the limit of detection is what the laboratory can see and not see.
Mm-hmm.
The limit of quantitation is what the laboratory can see yet also give a value to. So there's going to be some area in between the limit of detection and the limit of quantitation where the laboratory can see that the material is actually there, but they cannot actually give a value to it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's above the limit of quantitation, that's where the laboratory can actually say, hey, this much is in there, this many parts per million, if we're talking about some of the contaminants. But yeah, it's important to understand that the limit of detection and the limit of quantitation is actually a portrayal of the capabilities of a laboratory. If the laboratory cannot see under even sometimes 1% total THC, it's like, what can you see? You know, that's where my perspective comes from.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, why aren't laboratories actually able to see some of this material? Is it because they choose to, or is there an underlying issue with the laboratory?
Well, certainly that would be the cause or a need for consistency there. Do you have issues where a farmer will come back and disagree with your findings and want you to retest, or do you have issues like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's complaints about, you know, people testing hot all the time. You know, the first step is always to take a look again at the measurement uncertainty to understand if you actually are testing above your regulatory threshold, depending mm-hmm. on what jurisdiction you are in.
Mm-hmm. Have you had anybody just come out and flat out say, no, you guys are wrong and I don't agree with these findings?
Oh, I mean, sure. I mean, there's plenty of people that have come out and even tested us against multiple laboratories. In my opinion, we recommend that there are that farmers or processors or whoever is doing testing actually vets their laboratory by sending in multiple samples of the same material
mm-hmm.
to see if the same number comes back. I mean, you should be vetting your laboratory with your own experiments that you're performing against your laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know it gets expensive. I mean, testing multiple samples isn't exactly the cheapest thing, but you know what's more expensive is not understanding the actual true value of what you have in your hand.
Well, if you're
what you've been growing and what you've been producing.
And if you're going to nickel and dime, this is probably not the industry to invest in at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely not cheap to be in the hemp industry. I see people losing money all the time. People ask us if there's any way, that we see them, you know, profiting off of biomass that they've had in their barn for a year or so. It's hard to tell people the news, but it's one of those things where I would just think very hard about what that end material is going towards. I mean, it's great if you have a contract with a processor, but even last year, I mean, here in Kentucky, some of our biggest clients went bankrupt and had contracts with farmers. I mean, it's a very high risk industry.
Sure.
And now those farmers are trying to get rid of material, convert material, and it's still high quality hemp. But as soon as this harvest season yields what it does, I would expect more turbulence with the prices of cannabinoid, biomass, flower, et cetera.
Now, you folks in Kentucky have been growing a little longer, a few extra years compared to the rest of the country with the 2014 Farm Bill, while most of the country waited for the 2018 Farm Bill. But one of the things I wanted to ask, as far as your pesticide findings, are since more and more people are planting now, and it's becoming more generalized and they're using more and more acreage for that, are you finding a problem with the pesticide drift?
We're really not, at least, I mean, it's really difficult to identify the source of pesticides if people aren't applying it themselves. I mean, it's a known issue. There could be overspray from fields, miles away even. But, we do see some low levels of pesticides. There is a need to harmonize the action levels for pesticides, across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our clients end up seeing pesticides in their product, but yet they're lower than, basically any state out there, except for a couple that have extremely low thresholds.
So you're not seeing a lot of crops being ruined by it?
Not in the last year.
That's good.
Again, being in the middle of harvest season, I'm hoping that the farmers out there aren't seeing those issues. Mm-hmm. We do test for 67 pesticides and we come across a couple every now and then that are in the parts per million, parts per billion range that really wouldn't lead to an issue in formulation or whatnot. So it really depends on how much of the contaminant is actually being detected.
Mm-hmm.
About how you would go about dealing with that material moving forward. Either it needs to be destroyed if it's very, very high or cannot be remediated in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But alternatively, if it's low and it's detected, and it doesn't have any sort of potential harm, that it may not produce any potential harm to the public that consumes the product, it might be able to be formulated out. I mean, we like to look at the Canadian standards as well as the California standards for some of the most rigorous action limits on pesticides or mm-hmm. solvents or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Given that Kentucky and Indiana do not have state regulatory limits.
Gotcha. Well, again, once again, we're speaking with Ryan Ballone. Ryan is with KCA Labs in Nicholasville, Kentucky. Ryan, a great conversation. I know I've learned some things here. Hopefully the listeners have too. Is there anything else that we need to hit on before we let you go here?
The one pager is coming out with the Midwest Hemp Council. They've been great. The Midwest Hemp Council has been such a great organization that we joined. I believe either late last year or earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've made some great connections and really feel like we're a part of a community when we're with Midwest Hemp Council members and organization events. The one pager will be available for download. If you have any questions about it, let us know. We'd love to be your testing laboratory. Apart from just testing, we are looking towards helping with the regulatory issues. The lack of action on the FDA's part regarding manufacturing standards
mm-hmm.
Have left a big, black hole of speculation regarding regulation. So we'd like to help guide companies towards where we expect the FDA to move towards over the year. So we'll be coming out with more products and services later this year and early next year to do that beyond just the testing. Again, the testing isn't just a required expense. Testing needs to be understood to help you produce the best quality product that's out there. I mean, there's a lot of competition in this market. It's even on the laboratory side, we see a ton of competition. So nobody is exempt from having to be, the best that they can, in terms of their product or the service they provide. But, we've had clients that, as you mentioned earlier, we had clients that have challenge our results, and we do. And then when we can prove to them that there is the presence of a solvent or a pesticide in their product, we've been able to help clients identify the source and get rid of that contaminant in their process. Those are the expectations that need to come out of the laboratory. The laboratory should help you understand your material better, and not just be another number that hopefully it's under 0.3 and you're off to the races. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. So, KCA Labs, we're here again to help the hemp industry, understand the science behind hemp and cannabis. There's this market's changing all the time. We're learning new things every day as well. And I hope that, Midwest Hemp Council members find value out of this talk, as well as the one pager that we're providing. So, kcalabs.com or 833-KCA-Labs if you want to give us a call.
Okay, and again, that was 833-KCA-Labs.
Yep, you got it.
Great. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. And again, it's folks like you and employers and companies like KCA Labs that are out there pushing the hemp industry forward, kicking and screaming and whatever it takes, dragging them across the line. But it's folks like you that are making it happen and keeping the hemp industry alive and moving forward. So we certainly do appreciate everything you guys are doing down there.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, and we love being a part of the Midwest Hemp Council. Thanks for putting this a podcast on, and thanks for bringing us all together.
Oh, absolutely. And Ryan, I hope we get to talk to you again in the future and get some updates and see what's going on with you folks down there. But again, we appreciate it, and we will certainly talk to you soon. And we do encourage all of our listeners to get in touch with you and pick your brain and see what information they can get. And again, everybody working together, hopefully we can make this a great 2021 coming up.
Yes, for sure.
All right.
Thanks again, Jason.
All right, Ryan. Take care.
You too.
And that is going to do it for our show this week. The Midwest Hemp Council podcast is brought to you by AgroZen Life Sciences. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, and become a member of the Midwest Hemp Council. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council weekly podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. We'll see you next time. So long, everybody.